Praise God, praise God. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Of course, sir. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, I made it again. Isn't it good? Once I get to here, then we're going to have service, eh? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? The Lord is good. Praise God. Amen. Give Him a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Praise God. We thank God, and we want to thank God for His mercies and for all that He has done for us. Today has been a good day, an awesome day. And we do appreciate God for all that He has done for us. excuse me, trying to clear my throat. We certainly appreciate the Lord for His goodness and for His mercies. We've been studying the book of Joshua, and God has been blessing us, giving us a wonderful insight into this book of a wonderful servant of God, servant of Moses. Joshua was a wonderful fighter. He was a champion. And and as we go in, you're going to understand more about this man and love this man. God came to him in the first chapter, and mentioned to him that Moses was dead. Moses, God's servant, was dead, but he should be strong and be of a good courage, for unto him, let me go to, says that verse 5, that not a man, isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. They shall not, verse 5, you have Joshua, verse 5, that shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses,
so I will be with thee.
So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake you. Is that wonderful?
Yes.
What an assurance. You could get into any battle with that. And the next verse says,
be strong.
Now notice here, be strong. And be of a good courage. Be of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now we remind them, only be strong. Only be thou very strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Everything that God, everything that God tells him, he should do it. Be strong and be very courageous. See, so it's not only being strong, but you are courageous means you're going to go into territory. Amen. That the ordinary man could not go into. You're going to go into areas of the enemy. And God gave these lands to you, but you're going to have to go and take them. See, a lot of us, we sit back and we wait and says, God promised this to me, and I'm waiting for God to bless me. Well, why don't you be strong? Why don't you be very courageous?
Amen.
Why don't you begin to take some territory that God has given to you? Amen? As we go on, we will show you. But notice now. Notice is not say, when I'm strong, well, how do you get strong? How do you get courageous? How do you get strong? God gave him a commission, be strong and be very courageous. How does that go and apply to us today? Be strong. All right, let me go on. Verse 8 now. I'm going to show you how to be strong. God shows you in verse 8. Read that. Don't miss it. How to be strong. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Hold on. Amen. This what? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. If you don't read the book, if you don't study the book, if you don't search the book, you will not be able to stand against the enemy. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. What happened when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible? What happened? That's a question. You become stronger. Now, if the Lord says, be strong and be very courageous, where do you get your strength from? From the word of God. My strength cometh from the Lord. Be strong and be very courageous. And I want to go back to verse 7. Only be strong and be very courageous. That thou mayest observe to do first, obey. You have to do. You can't disobey. You can't be not studying the Bible and not praying and not seeking God. On Sunday morning you come and you expect God just to pour out his spirit. We felt an awesome spirit tonight.
Yes.
Today. But somebody must be praying.
Yes.
Someone must be reading the Bible.
Yes.
Someone must be listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant, here it is, commanded thee. See, Moses gave a command and said, turn not from it. Notice, to the right. To the right hand or to the left. A lot of people like to be influenced. They easily influence. They're serving God going on and someone come with another direction. Someone come with something that turn you to the right. That means you turn away from God, the straight and narrow way. Then he turns you to the left. Whenever the devil wants to destroy you, he first has to turn you. He turn you away from the word of God. Make you begin to miss the church. The devil begin to give you an excuse and you stay home. And you feel that you can get more by staying home and listening to even the message on Facebook or listening to television preaching and all of that. You're turning to the right or the left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the devil has to do is to turn you.
Right.
Turn you away from the truth, from the word of God, from hearing the word of God. So he said to Joshua, turn not to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Notice, see that? When you begin to turn under the influence of others, you're not going to prosper. God brought you. You sit down with your Bible. Look what you're hearing. And you fill yourself up with the word of God. What you're doing is that you're putting on, when he said be strong and be very courageous. How are you going to be strong in the Lord? Just hold your fingers. Can you help me? And go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Turn over there to Ephesians chapter 6. Because you said, well, I'm going to turn, but how do you turn? How do you remain strong? Well, let's go to verse 10. Because what was under the old covenant, the word today, this applies to us right now. See, be strong. We have to read the word. He said to Joshua, do not let the book of this law depart out of your mouth. So in verse 10, go to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong. That's the same message. That's the same word coming from God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And be very courageous in the power of his might. Now we understand how to be courageous. That in the power of his might. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he gives you power. Amen. He makes you strong. When the Holy Ghost moves upon you, you can go forth and take territories. You go forth and take what the Lord has promised you. Without the strength of the Holy Spirit, he told the disciples that they should go into all the world and take territories. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he says, now you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when that Holy Spirit comes, it makes you strong. It makes you very courageous. You go forward and take territories that the devil once had. You become a conqueror and more than a conqueror. So he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power, I like this, of his might. But notice what you have to do. You just don't get out there and fight because you're a soldier. And you have to arm yourself. And the weapons that you arm yourself with, they're not carnal. Because the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Are you listening now? They're mighty through God to the pulling down of a stronghold. So this is what you have to do now, is put on. Put on what? You don't begin to put on traditions. You don't begin to copy someone and put on imitate them. But you're going to have a personal experience with God for yourself. So you put on, like David could not put on Saul's armor and go and fight Goliath because he did not prove them. But he had a secret weapon in his bag. He had a sling and he had a stone. He had 5 stones, J-E-S-U-S, that he got out of the brook. Now here's a brook. This Bible is your brook. And you got to come here and pick stones out. Like again, Tatiana said this morning that Jesus is the one. He fights your battle. Amen. He's that rock. He's not a grain of sand, but he's a rock. And that's what you fight the devil with. That little stone that's hewn out of the mountain without hands. So he says, put on, I like this, the whole armor of God, all of it. Don't leave anything out. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because you're going to go in territory now that you've never been before. You're going to capture and conquer territory that belongs to the devil. And you're going to go and take back everything that the devil took from you. You're going to go forward and believe God and take territory. You're going to advance into enemy's territory. And he told Joshua that everywhere that you put your foot on belongs to you. But you have to put on the whole armor of God. Your feet has to be shod. You cannot walk upon enemy's territory and go and get new grounds and conquer new areas and new places in God and in your life with the shoes that you're wearing. The shoes of tradition, the shoes of men the shoes of human ideas. But you've got to put off those shoes that you've been wearing. Those ideas, where you came from, the thoughts. You've got to drop them and get rid of them, forsaking those things which are behind and reaching forth. Put off the shoes that you're wearing. And because you're standing on holy ground. And begin to put on the shoes that God has given you. He said your feet must be shod with the preparation, hallelujah, of the gospel of peace. Now so, back to our Ephesians says, he says, put on the old armor of God that you may be able to stand all against all the wiles of the devil. All of it. Amen. Everywhere the devil came from, or come from, because he's going to try to make you turn to the right. Remember? And he's going to try to make you turn to the left. But you're not supposed to turn to the right or the left, but you're to go forward in God. You're to go straight forward in the Lord. And said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Look at all. The land is before you. Do you know that? But your enemies. The land is before you. Now, how do you conquer? Where do you march? I'm not talking about you catch a plane and go to England, or you go to Africa. That's not the conquering we're talking about tonight. If you are before the spies, before they conquer, they had to send spies, chapter 2, over in the land of Jordan. Now, before you can conquer, you're going to have to send out spies. Amen. God wants you to spy out the land. Are you listening to me now? Now, how do you spy out the land? Through the word of God. He said that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Amen. Amen. You've got to have it day and night. In the law, David said, that in thy law do it ye meditate. That's the righteous man. Are you listening? That's the righteous man meditating in the law of God day and night. Then it says that his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. So for you to prosper and conquer, what do you do? You have to be planted by the rivers of water. And you bring forth your fruit in your season. For you to go forward in God, you have to be grounded and steadfast and unmovable in the word of God. See, you have to go deep in the love of God. You have to be buried in truth, grounded in truth. You don't go forward. I'm not talking about just running here from one meeting to another, one church to another. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not going forward in territories that God has given you. The territory are these promises that God has laid out before you in the word of God. The Lord promised them, promised the fathers that he was going to give them the land of Canaan. They walk around for 40 years. But now it's time to take it. We've been in the church a long time. And all of these promises of God that has been given to us. But we've been going around in circle and wondering in the wilderness of men's ideas and men's tradition. What they tell us we do. And promises they made. Give me this and you'll get that. But those are vain promises. But if you want to go forward in God, you've got to get down and have your eyes focused and your mind buried in the word of God. You have to have your, like David, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. You've got to have him day and night. In the law of the Lord, you meditate day and night. And you'll find out how perfect God's law is. You'll find out how great God is. How wonderful God is. So he says that in Ephesians verse 12 says, for we wrestle. Notice, you notice there? God give you, but it's a fight. It's a wrestling match. You're not just going to get it. You put the Bible under your pillow and you get it. That's not the way you're going to get it. It's a wrestling match.
Wrestling.
When other people are gone on vacation, sleeping,
labor.
When other people are playing games and taking off, what are you doing?
Labor.
You're laboring.
Yes.
You're laboring to enter. You are pressing into the kingdom. You become violent. Do you understand? It's warfare. It's a warfare. And you become violent against the devil. When the devil is trying to stop you, you put on that armor of God. You keep on. You keep on the whole armor of God. And you realize that once you join the fight, once you're born again, you are a soldier. And the war begins. You begin to fight the good fight of faith, because their territories and their promises that's in the word of God for you. And you're going to take it. But you're not going to take it if you're naked. If you're poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. But you've got to put on and buy gold. You've got to buy tried gold. You've got to buy the equipments from God. And you've got to use the equipments that God gave you. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The devil is there to stop you.
Amen.
When Daniel was to receive a promise, there was an evil angel that was resisting for 21 days.
Yes.
Gabriel true?
Yes.
To come with the promises. So there's a lot of promise here for you. And the prince of Persia don't want you to get it. The prince over this territory. The principalities and power. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if you think it's the pastor, that's going to do it, you're wrong. You're going to sit and wait, because the pastor has to put on his own armor. And he's doing his fight over there. And while he's doing a fight, you're waiting for him to come and fight your battle. But you better begin to gird up the loins of your mind. And be sober and hope to the end. You better learn how to put on the old armor of God. And take up and begin to war. And begin to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. You've got to understand now that you have a fight. And you have lands to be taken. God lay out eternal life. He lays out sanctification, justification. He lays out all of that good stuff for us. Redemption, regeneration. And all of that God lays out for us. And God says, go ahead and take it. Go ahead and take it. But how do you take it? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth day or night. When you stand up to testify, it's not about grandma's story. It's not about grandpa's story. But brother, you got the word of God in your heart. And you're filled up with the word of God. You've got to forget what grandma testified about. You've got to forget sometimes the pain and the aches and even where you came from. You've got to forget those things which are behind. Amen. You've got to forget your mother and your father. Who's my mother and my father? You have to forget the country that you came out of. The country is the world. You've got to forget the country of the first Adam. And you're going to a new country. Amen. You have to like Ruth, as she came out of Moab. And you're going over to Israel, to Jerusalem, because you hear that the famine is over and that there's bread in the house of God. So you've got to forget all of that and come seek bread, the living bread, the true bread, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says that, it says, where am I now? In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But notice who are the enemies before you. Remember, you're going over to conquer, right? You're going to take the land. But Joshua, and we'll get there, had to send spies out. So what's going to go on now? You have to send spies out. Spies. Those secret area of your life. Those dark areas where there's still evil spirits, demonic forces, principalities in your life. Now I'm bringing it home to you now and I, that there are areas in your mind, the darkened mind, that now we're going to take those and conquer those, but we have to just send spies over. Amen. You have to spy out the land and know where the enemy is lodging. You have to know the strength of the enemy and the weakness of the enemy. You have to know where the enemies are hanging out. And what are you doing? When you find out, how do you know? Because you're going to make mistakes and you're going to slip. And now, what's going on when you make a mistake? This poor man falls 7 times. But he's going to get up. Why? Because he realized what made him fall. He realized his weakness. And he's spying out now. That the next time, he will not be tripped up by that area. So what does he do? He gets strong and armed and spy out the dark areas in his life. And so he knows he has to put on and the old armor of God. And we wrestling against principalities and powers, right? And the rulers, notice, the rulers of the darkness of this world. But remember now, it's not outside. The battle is in the mind. It's on the inside. That you're going to fight it, and you fight it on your knees. Or you fight it with your hands lifted up. You fight it with your mind and God. You don't fight it many times. You don't win many times when you are in a lot of crowd. It's by yourself at nights when you go home after church. Amen? And you get a fresh word from God. And you're going to apply that word to yourself. You don't fight it by just staying home and don't go to church. But you have a fresh word from God. And said, devil, you can't fool me anymore. You're not going to lie to me and make me stay home. Amen. And think I can fight this battle. But you come and you gird up. You get a fresh touch, a fresh dip, a fresh word. And you're going home. So I said, tonight, before I go to bed, I'm going to get hold of God and throw off some of those dark, evil thoughts that has been bothering me. I'm going to advance into enemy territory. The territory in my mind. And take fresh ground. And by the next morning, you'll feel fresh and revived. Amen? The principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness of this world. Amen? Darkness in high places. Wickedness in high places. So read on. Wherefore, what do you do, saints? Take unto you that not part, but the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able. Oh, somebody shout. That you may be able. See that word able? Amen. We are well able. See, the spies says that. The spy says that. Remember the 10 spies?
Yes.
They said, we are not able. You know why they're not able? Do you know why when they were sent over to, was it in the days of Moses?
Yes.
He sent over 12 spies.
Yes.
And that's why they could not get the land.
No.
Because he sent over 12 spies. And 10 of them came back. And they says, we saw the giants. We saw the principalities. We saw the powers. We saw the rulers of the darkness of this world. We saw the Jebusites. We saw the son of the Anakims. We saw all of these. Do you understand?
Yes.
Amen. Now notice now. You the reason why you put on the armor of God is that the enemy will not look bigger than you are. Amen. See, the enemy look bigger and stronger when you are just in the flesh.
Yeah.
He looks so strong. But once you begin to gird up the loins of your mind, and like David, put on the armor and not put on Saul's armor, reject the armor, you'll find out that to Goliath, to the principalities, and to the world, they look at you as a little boy. They look at you as a young, immature, and know nothing. You're nobody. But that's not the way God look at you. God sees you anointed. Amen. Before you go out to fight the giant, you have to have the anointing. You have to be keeping the sheep. You have to kill the bear. You have to kill the lion. You've got to kill a lot of stuff in your life. And then you're able to take on bigger tasks. Amen. But you don't do it by yourself. David didn't kill that giant, that lion, or the bear by himself. But while he was out there, what was he doing? He realized the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What a God we are serving. So he says, wherefore, take unto you, like David took the stones, the whole armor of God. That, are you going to do it? Or are you going to do it? Through the word. The teaching of the word. Through someone, a ministry, but for the perfecting of the saints. The ministry is to armor you up. Look what I'm doing tonight. What am I doing to you tonight? I'm armoring you up. I'm not just preaching cars and watches and clothes. No, I'm not that kind of a preacher. See, I as some preachers are preach earthly things. I'm not that kind of a preacher, but I preach heavenly things. Amen. I preach getting higher in God. I'm not preaching a garment that you go to the store and buy, but I'm preaching this garment that it's a garment, amen, that you'll be closing for all eternity. That's what I'm preaching tonight to put on. I'm trying to show you how to put on the wedding garment. I'm trying to help you now, because the armor, once you put it on, you don't put it off. This actually is your wedding garment. Remember when this man went in without a wedding garment? He was not armored up. So tonight I'm showing you how to put on the wedding garment. The wedding garment is that you're going to get your head covered. You've got to get your head covered as you go through this world. Because somebody up there will drop a rock on your head and destroy you. See? But you've got to cover your head with the helmet of salvation. You cannot pretend this, but you have to be really, really saved. You cannot be pretend, but you have to be born again. Not of water and of blood or the flesh or the will of man, but of God. See, so wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. We are living right now in the evil days. So if you don't get your armor on, you're going to get your head busted. Amen. You're going to get crushed. So tonight, forget the cars and the Rolls Royce and the Lincolns and forget that. And get your head covered. Get the whole armor of God on. Come on, put on the armor, the gospel armor of God. And it said that you may be able to stand in the evil day, not falling over everything that knock you over, every wind of doctrines knock you over, but you'll be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, notice, and having done all that you can do to stand, all that you can do to stand. Are you listening now? You've been faithful to church, faithful to paying your tithe, faithful to study the word of God. Come on now, stand. Don't give up. Ah, your redemption, draw it nigh. Look up for your redemption. Draw it nigh. And having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand. Go ahead. Stand, therefore. Stand. Amen. Stand. Amen. Next verse. Stand. Therefore, and it says, stand therefore. When you do all of that, you've been the most faithful in church. Don't get discouraged. Having done all of that. Now, after you've done all of that, now what do? Stand. Stand therefore. Stand in the perfect law of liberty. Stand upon the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Stand therefore. And how do you stand? How do you stand? Looking around at what, like the message this morning, you got a little green eye. Who is getting more than you? Whose plate is, see, Joseph had a purpose. Joseph put more food on Benjamin's table, on Benjamin's plate, to find out how the brothers would react. Yeah. So he gave, if you want to know how the brothers are going to react, put more food on Benjamin's plate. So he gave Benjamin 5 changes of raiment. And he told the butler to give him another pork chops. Put on another little helping. And out of the corner of his eyes, he was watching the reaction of the brothers to find out if any little jolly green giant, any little thing was lodging in their spirit, and they were cross-eyed instead of having straight eye. Look not to the right or to the left, and you're looking who's getting what and who put more on Joseph and Benjamin's plate. See, because if you have straight eyes, you're not going to see Benjamin's plate. You're going to see only your plate, which is the word of God. You're going to see the word of God. So you won't see Benjamin getting an extra portion, or Benjamin just change into another suit while you're still wearing the same old dusty suit. You've been wearing that dusty suit. Well, it's not Joseph's fault. They ought to wash that by the washing of the water of the word. You're responsible to keep your garment white. And they wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. So you get to the place where nothing moved me. Amen. Benjamin's 5 portion doesn't move me at all. I'm so blessed and glad that I'm saved. Amen. Have you ever heard the song? I'm saved. And I know it. And I'm glad. Now, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. See, so remember, you get to maturity where you're not worrying about how many garments Benjamin have in his wardrobe and so on. And how his plate, and you get together and you said, well, you know, Benjamin, Joseph, I don't like how Joseph operate. You notice how Joseph is partial, and you notice what Joseph did? Joseph must have something against us now. Joseph, did you notice how he put an extra or even 5 extra? Did you see how much Benjamin's plate was piled up? And you, Reuben, you're the eldest one. You should have a big old pile on your plate. Do you see that? That would be another war. Mark me, that would be another war. That's grounds for war. And that's grounds for fighting if you don't check that and stop that. And have wisdom. I know that little innocent word will get down there. And trust me, the devil know how to water it. So what do? You get in there, root it up.
Yes.
And you let nothing grow up in your soil.
Yes.
Because you're moving on.
Yes.
And you conquer that.
Yes.
Because you've got the whole armor of God on.
Yes.
See, that's the word of God.
Yes.
See, that's the power of God. And you begin to get out when you check your spirit and said, oh, there was a little monster in there, because that's not. So that's you begin to check now. And have I been looking to the right? And have I been looking to the left? Yes, you have. And when you look to the right, and what do you see? You see Benjamin had 5. How do you know that? The Lord had to correct that with Peter. Peter had a little crossed eye. And if you know the Old Testament scripture, one of the priests could not have a crossed eye.
Amen.
You know, he looking that way. And then his little eye, you ever seen the little eye shaking and looking that way? And it shake again and it's over there. And you're wondering, how come he cannot look straight? And he never goes straight, but he's always tumbling. And he's focused to the right. And he's focused to the left. But Joseph had to straighten them out where they wouldn't look at anybody's possession. And you get to the place where you don't care what nobody have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You only think about my ministry. God says I should now put on the old armor of God. I'm preaching, isn't it? That's good. He says, stand therefore. Wait, am I there?
Yeah.
You stand therefore having your loins. See, here's where you go now. girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to, what did I say? Even those little things that seem so innocent. See, here's where a lot of people missed it with their children. When they're a baby, that they do something wrong. The parents, instead of correcting Johnny, they smile and said how cute he is. It looks cute when it's small and innocent. But that little thing is going to grow in Johnny. And later on, it will not be cute. But it's going to be trouble. So, a good father and mother gets over there and teach Johnny a solemn bottom lesson. And Johnny will realize that Johnny cannot do that anymore. What you're doing? You know the state of your flock. And you save, and love covers a multitude of evil. And when the enemy comes in and want to rise up innocent with a smile, you cut it off. Because you've got the sword of the Spirit. So you begin to cut off. It's not the pastor necessarily. If he has to do it, then you're in trouble. But you begin to weed up and cut off. You're a swordsman. And you begin to cut off and root up all of that. All, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith? All right, what's the shield of faith? The shield of faith would be, I don't worry what you have. Jesus said to Peter, well, what will this man do? Well, that's not your business, Peter. What is that to you? I gave you a job to do, and you can't even do your job. Complete your job. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? If Sister Susan's supposed to be over there cleaning the chandelier, okay, and your job is to clean the foyer, why don't you stay out there and clean that foyer? Why you come over inspecting what Sister Susie's doing? You leave all of that to the pastor. Listen, I can see. I got four eyes. Plus, I've got eyes behind me and before me. But the problem is that many times, I can get away with this. Pastor doesn't see it. That's your first mistake. How did I see all these scriptures and you don't see them? Eyes behind. I'm telling you tonight, scriptures and today, that you've never heard explained this way. Eyes behind and eyes before. And if you listen, you're going to get out of here tonight feeling much better. Amen. And you're going to say, oh my goodness. You're going to say, this Bible is bigger than I am. I didn't know that simple things like that was the devil setting me up. Amen. See, the devil will set you up. And before you know it, you're warring against each other. Before you know it, you don't even like your own brothers. Before you know it, what happened? You'll be watching what kind of shoes he wears. And if his shoes is bigger than yours. And you'll be watching, well, how come he's got a new coat? Or what that? And you'll be so focused on your brother that you'll forget that you've got another brother. You'll forget that you've got Jesus, who's your brother. And he's a brother and a friend. That's sticking closer than a brother. Are you listening tonight? And you focus and you let everybody prosper into what God has called them to do. Are you listening now? I was saying this morning that I have a lot of friends. And I watched some of them, many of them. And I was coming down, I was watching one of my friends, his service. And from time to time, I don't know how to do it. But my wife, I'll tell her to send a little notice to my friends or her friends that we're watching them, supporting them. You know what? And I listen to them, and I'll go up tonight and listen to some of them because I want them to prosper. Yes. I want their church. I want them to preach a good message. Yes. And they, when they preach a message, something I could glean from them. I'm not watching them to watch if I'm a better preacher or teacher than them. No, I'm watching because I want to help them,
Amen.
To support them.
Yeah.
When they see something from us,
yeah.
they feel encouraged
Amen.
And to study more. You understand that?
Yeah.
You encourage one another.
Yeah.
When one rejoice, you rejoice.
Yeah.
Amen. When one is weeping, you weeping. When your brothers and sisters get blessed, you say, oh, Pastor, you're talking about me. I'm glad you know that. I'm glad you found that out. At least you're learning. You're smart.
Yeah.
I'm glad you caught that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because I am. See, you caught that. Okay, so now, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith, and listen, that's going to make you be a better sister and a brother. That's going to make you a better saint if you will listen. Because you see how subtle it is. And you will, before you know it, he was telling Joshua, don't go to the right or the left. In other words, because you'll move out into areas that I did not designate for you. You'll go into another ministry.
Yeah.
You can go into the ministry of jealousy, covetousness, envy. That's what happened to Joseph's brother. They had all of that ministry. So when Joseph got a coat of many colors, that just turned him off. And look what happened. But still, look what happened. Because when God has called you for something, nobody can take that. Remember that now. So you begin to develop yourself in what God has called you for. And walk patiently above all, taking the shield in closing of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet. Do you got that on? If you don't, he's going to drop a rock of envy on your head, a rock of jealousy on your head, and break that little thick Adamic skull that you've got, that little carnal skull. But put on the head gear of God. God's saying, get rid of your head and put on a new head, the helmet of salvation. Did you know that every one of these equipments is Jesus? The helmet is Jesus. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So hold on. Back in Joshua, when God told him, be strong and of good courage, let not the book of this law depart out of your mouth. What was God saying? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when Joshua goes over there, and when he pulled his sword against the enemy, that was not an ordinary sword, but it was the word of God. When you study the word of God, and you know the word of God, and you have the word of God, and you meditate in the word of God, and you pull out that sword against the devil, he comes to you with carnal stuff. But remember, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. And I go back on it again with Tatiana from Job 37. See, seeking that still, small voice. That's the sword. Now, that's all she has to armor with. She's got a pastor. She listens. But it's God that makes her. The Holy Ghost is going to mold her. Because when she goes home, in the midnight hour, she might have visitation. I'm not there. I don't know. Because when she discovered, like Joseph, his brethren, and Benjamin, what happened? His bowel moved. He was broken up. And he had to go aside and weep. And then he washed his face and come out again to his brothers. What happened when you see Jesus? Your bowels will move.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. With the depth of the feeling of the presence that you've met your brother.
Yes.
Benjamin is here.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is here. Have you want to meet your Benjamin tonight?
Yes.
Eh? You meet your Benjamin tonight?
Yes.
And when you meet your Benjamin, what do? You begin to give him a double portion.
Yes.
You begin to close him with all kind of raiment of love.
Praise.
Joy. Peace, long suffering. Go ahead. Give Give your Benjamin the nine gift fruits of the Spirit. Go close your Benjamin. Go close Jesus. Amen. Go and put on. Give him an extra portion tonight. You have one and two in church. But give him a five portion course. A five meal course. Tonight when you go home, just between you and him, you have three more courses. What do you do? You begin to serve your Benjamin. Your Jesus, your brother, your elder brother in this case. Amen? Something more. And you begin to close him and love him with your spirit and tell him how much you love him. Can you do that tonight? And begin to give him that extra double portion. Amen. And your bowels will move. You'll weep for your Benjamin. You'll weep for your long lost brother or long absent brother. So in closing, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ah, there it is. How do you get the next course? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, that's what you do. You pray for, not just for yourself, for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. See that? Oh, Paul had, he had some men in the background. They were faithful. That's all you have to do. You don't mind what anybody else is doing. If your job is to turn off the light, don't worry about nobody. You make sure you turn off the light. And I love developing your heart for God and for the church. If you don't love the church, you can't love God. It's hard to love God without loving the church. When you see something on the floor, and even if it's not your turn, but it's dirty, it's not, well, that's not my turn. You got to get over that. And you have to pick it up because you love God. You've got to get all of that. Well, it's the church. Who's the church? Let the church do it. Or let somebody else do it. You're going to lose out. You're going to take on a different spirit. But if you can leave here tonight and say, I am the church. I am responsible for the lights. I'm responsible to keep heat in this house and air condition and to keep it clean and to see that the bills are paid. But if in your heart, oh, I give my tithe and that's not my problem, then how are you going to hear all these messages? Do you understand now? You're showing God who you will be in the kingdom. What you do right now is a testimony to what you would be in the kingdom or to whether God's going to use you. The way you act, the way you do it. If you leave a job undone, God knows, if he gave you a throne, it will be undone. Your kingdom, or your cities, if he gave you five cities, they will not be as Paul's city at the end of the millennium, because everything is to come in line. But if you leave undone, unfinished, you think when you get in the kingdom, you're going to finish it? No. Where a tree falls, that's where it lies. And that spirit that is inside of you, you see, you've got to see things and do things even without anybody ask you. If you say that nobody asked me, you're late. You're late. You've got to have that spirit where you volunteer, where you see it. Amen. Where you're glad. You've got to say, well, the church need that. And you know the church need that. Girl, that's too big a word for me. See, but I got it. My goodness. And give me a break down that definition. Come on and give me a root word for that. Break that down some for me. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Break it down for me. You do that. Have that initiative to do it without being asked to do that thing. But if you have to be asked, that's too late. If you have to, well, I'll do exactly what I'm told to do, you're late. You'll never progress. But you've got to see things and do things even without your ask and keep quiet. Yeah. You look around and there's a need. There's a need. Okay? And there are many needs in the church. And if it's only just your regular tithe and offering, and it's not going to meet it. But God touched somebody, has to touch somebody every month with the love of God in their heart. And they look at that money and said, I could have bought 101 things. But look at it, instead of me wasting it on natural things. Wasting it and do it. Yes, I could go away and put my feet up and enjoy 2 or 3 days. And I feel I deserve that. Then you look around and you see, oh, the church needs that. So you say the church is more valuable. The needs of the church is more valuable than my need. You understand where you're getting now? You understand now? Yes. You're taking on the spirit of Ruth, where in this case it applies to men also. But Ruth saw the need of this elderly lady. And she said, Naomi, you stay out. Stay home. I'm going to reap in the fields. And she went out and got food. She saw the need. And that's why she became one of the mothers in the Messiah's lineage. I'm going to show you another lady who became a leader in the lineage of the Messiah because she saw the need. She saw the need of 2 spies that they were going to be killed. And she stepped up. Do you understand that? And she stepped up. And she hid the spies. You know what a lot of modern day people would do? They're too righteous. And said, they said, we cannot hide them because we'd be telling a lie. Oh my God, what book have you read? Where are you coming from? No, we've got to be straight to the devil. Huh? The devil doesn't know what being straight is. He's crooked. Amen. And, you know, let me tell you something. You got to knock it off because you will destroy the work of God by to being correct, politically correct. And you got to tell the enemy everything. Show them where the nuclear code is. Oh, my. If you hide it, it's a lie. Screw your head on right. Oh, no. You've got to be so good. Don't lock your doors at night. No, don't lock it. You'll see what happened. You've got to know how. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, against the devil. So you've got to ask God for wisdom. If Moses' mother and father didn't go against the king's commandment and hid Moses, you would never have had this book. You would never have. You've got to hide Moses. You've got to hide things from the enemy. They will destroy the church. They will destroy the work. It's like you're going out and you tell people that don't love the church everything about the church. No, you got to keep something quiet. Amen. And don't tell everybody. You say, come over here, cousin. And let me tell you what's going on. We are having a fundraising in the church. And I'm not saying your cousin is a thief or not. Like, that's what I'm saying. He's like somebody said, Pastor, why don't you put up on the board out there publicly so everybody can see what we're getting in the church and what you're getting. I'll be gladly do that. Because you look and see it's zero. And maybe God will touch your heart. You want me to do that? I can tell you right now. When last have you given me something? Check your spirit. And when last have I given you something? I just did. And I'm still doing it. So you don't give this Benjamin nothing. Amen. So let me close. Then it goes on. Whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose that he might know our affairs. And that he might comfort your hearts. Peace. Hello. Peace, brethren. Brothers. Peace. Sisters. Peace. All of you. Peace. What a wonderful message. You feel peace? Or you get at the pastor and say, the pastor was talking about me. I already tell you I was. You don't even have to send me an email, a snail mail. text me. You don't have to tweet me Twitter. You don't have to twinkle, twinkle, little stars. Oh, I wonder where. You don't have to send me nothing. Here I am, face to face with you, looking into your beady eye and telling you that's true. I'm talking to you. Okay, case settled. Now let's move on now. Peace be to the brethren. Are we at peace now? And love. Don't break that now with faith. From God. Oh, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Written from Rome, from Merced tonight, unto the Ephesians, the Mercedians, whatever. How do you say that? The Ephesians and so on. Amen. Yeah. You get that? What a wonderful book Joshua is.